ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 190 of the It's Obvious podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Preston Puna. I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
That'd be me.
And the lamp.
And the lamp. Yeah, the lamp is replacing Jacob this week. Unfortunately, he cannot be with us. And, you know, typically we're just three boys, as inspired by Tim and Eric. But today it's just two boys and lamp. What's the lamp's name in that short? It's called,
I think it's
like Lampy or something.
It's
something
it's stupid. Not Lampy.
I'm Shades. Not sure. It's Shades.
Yeah.
We got, oh, we should have put Shades on it. We blew it, man.
Man.
Anyway, it's good to be here with you and Lamp. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm very well right in this moment.
That's good.
You and I had quite the discussion before this began, and I'm feeling really, really good.
That's great.
Had a tough week, as anyone who's listened to the previous episode knows, but let me start by saying that I'm trying to put this, say this the right way, and so I get everything out there. First and foremost, I am so deeply thankful and grateful for the outpouring of love and support and encouragement I received this week from so many of you. I mean, it absolutely blew my mind, some of the stuff I heard from you guys, whether it was just kind words or encouragement or support or sharing stories of your own and tough experiences you've had, or sharing music with me, or YouTube videos, whatever it may have been, anything you did, even if you simply thought about me this week, it just means the absolute world to me. And I think it's a real testament to the community we've built through It's Obvious Gaming. And I know, obviously, we're a very small podcast. We've never been anything even remotely significant on the internet, even at least in the gaming space. But it is really special, I think, what we have here. And I think this week, in a lot of ways, could have been a turning point. And I'm glad that I was open about, you know, my faith and this difficult situation I'm currently still struggling with. But the fact that we can all share our struggles together, whether it be on Discord or private messages, or even right here on the podcast or in the YouTube comments, I think it's amazing. And I'd love going forward, I'm not saying like this will be just like a therapy session every week, but just as a community, if anyone's ever feeling down in the dumps, and I wanted to also express that me being a Christian doesn't mean well, we don't accept people who aren't Christians or have totally different beliefs, or if you are, have a different sexual orientation. I just hope you know that true Christians, we accept you all. I promise. We love you, every single one of you, no matter what you believe, what you feel, the way you live your life. We love you to death, and we will always be here for you as long as this podcast exists. And even beyond that, I mean, even if this podcast ends one day, you can always reach out and talk to me if you'd like. I'd always respond to you. But that's what I wanted to say, is this podcast can be a place of support for each other. I know we all have different life experiences. We're all at different stages in life, and we all have our own struggles, have our own goals and own aspirations and things we're doing. And whether we're down to the dumps or having the best day of our lives, I think I'd love for this to be a place where we can just share and be open with each other and support each other when we need it. Cause I think it's a beautiful thing. And if anything, this podcast, beyond gaming and movies and TV and all the things we love, can be a place where we can all come together and just be there for each other. So I think it's amazing. And I cannot thank you guys enough for the outpouring of love and support, because it really did brighten my day, or all of my days this past week. Each day was brighter when I was receiving support from you guys. And I never want to feel like you ever feel like you're obliged to do that. I know you guys all did that on your own free will, and I appreciate it so much. But know that it was amazing. It really put a smile on my face and warmed my heart and helped me keep my head up going about my tough days, these dark days I've been in. But all that being said, we don't want to be sappy the whole podcast. I'm very excited for this episode. We got some fun news, and it's going to be great. But that's it for me for now, Preston. How's your week?
For sure. It was good. It was good. A lot of work, not a lot of games, so not the best week. But yeah, that's all I really have to say.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I played a couple games myself. Of course, we'll talk a lot about Apex Legends, which I'm stoked exists now.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about that. Other than that, I am playing Crackdown 3. I think I'm allowed to say that. I'm reviewing it for COG. Cannot share any impressions, but aside from what I shared last week. But
game of the year.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah.
My review for Crackdown will be out later on, so closer to release, and you'll hear all my thoughts. And for those of you that are anticipating it, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about it, so it'd be cool. But I played that, and Apex Legends and Devil May Cry, which we'll talk about too here in a little bit. But video game wise, that is all I did. I was slammed with school as usual and work. And the following weeks are only going to get busier with final projects and whatnot. But I'd actually love to hear, and this is random, I like leaning on the community more than ever now, if there are any short film ideas that would land within the 5 to 6 minute range that you think would be just a cool idea that seems feasible. I know feasible can be a pretty broad term, throw me some pitches your way. I'm thinking a cast of no more than 2 to 3. It can be literally any idea you have that doesn't require visual effects. Something that can be all done in camera that you think is kind of a unique idea. That would be fun, because I'm kind of juggling a couple ideas myself, because I have to make one more short film this quarter. And I want it to be cool, but I also am a very busy man, so I can't have it be too demanding. But I wanted to cast a line out to the community once again. Throw me your ideas for short films. If you have any whatsoever, I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, gaming. What'd you play this week?
I also played the most of my time went to Apex Legends. Didn't touch Kingdom Hearts because I was, like I said, I had a lot of work this week. And all the free time I had, I just kind of wanted to jump in and shoot stuff. So Apex Legends was exactly what I wanted to play this week. So I played that. I did play the Devil May Cry 5 demo, and I played a little bit of the Division 2 VIP demo beta, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there's no embargo on that, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So I can talk about that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. The Division 2 is the Division 2. It's exactly what you would think the Division 2 is, at least so far.
Just less snowy for now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There are deer running around. Mm-hmm. I shot one to see if I could kill it, so I felt kind of bad about that.
Did you
that.
Kill it?
Yeah, you can't loot it or anything either.
Did you just kill it?
I just killed it in cold blood. I know. Okay. I felt bad about that.
You son of a bitch.
That's the one thing that stands out about playing that. So the VIP demo starts off with you kind of getting to the White House, and you take it over, and the White House is your base of operations, which is pretty cool. I also went to another section of the map that was also a hub area, and I don't remember exactly if the first Division had multiple hub areas. I think there was one area near some water where you started off, and then you eventually went to some other building. So I don't know, but there was a theater in the White House that I went to. But yeah, it feels like the Division. I don't remember every single detail of the Division 1, so I'm not exactly sure what has completely changed. Like, I don't remember if the skill trees are too different or anything. So it kind of just feels like the Division so far to me, but I'm fine with that. It's cool. I want more Division, and knowing the things I do know about the in-game content and raids and the differences in the Dark Zone, that's the stuff that really stands out to me. And of course, I didn't get to play that. I know eventually they will open up some in-game stuff, so I'm excited to play that to see the difference. It runs okay.
You're on PC, right?
Yeah, I'm on PC. There's this weird thing, which granted, I didn't mess with the settings too much, where the screen has a weird slowdown kind of when I moved the camera around a lot, but the frame rate's steady, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but it was still completely playable, and it looks nice. You can still shut the car doors.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, cool. More importantly, yeah. How many car doors did you shut?
I did that a lot. I like when you attach to the back and you walk across the car, and
I'll never forget that demo. The original demo obviously looks so beautiful, but what immediately attracted me to it was that animation where he closes the door.
Yeah.
I mean, Ubisoft always nails their animations for the most part.
For sure. And I did one story mission. I'm not exactly sure what else there is to do. I had to stop last night. I had things to do. So I just played through one narrative mission, which took me through a hotel, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there was a boss at the end. The only different thing that I noticed, and I'm pretty sure this wasn't in the Division 1, there was a door that I had to, the final part of the mission, you had to destroy this barrier to get through. So you actually had to shoot at this door while there were people coming at you.
Okay.
So it was like a boss fight, but you just shoot a door instead of a person. I had a turret out, so I was throwing a turret, and you can actually tell which enemy the turret should shoot at. So that might be different. And then I also had this ball that I put on the seeker ball, and it rolls around and you can tell it where to go. I don't remember if you could tell it where to go in the Division 1. I think you just put it down and it just goes wherever it wants to. But the guns feel great. Of course, I was on the same level as people. So there wasn't, I know people talk about the bullet sponginess of the Division 2, but besides the boss character, which he was completely decked out in like bomb gear, you know, a big dude. Everybody else took, you know, just a few shots. It didn't feel
okay,
super bullet spongy. But then again, I'm still on the same level, and there was a guy every now and then with armor on. Mm-hmm. So that those were the only, and even then just a headshot or two was fine. So I had a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to getting into this game. Do you remember when the release date is?
I think it's March.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's next month.
I did not pre-order this game. I have no clue how I got into the,
okay,
the beta. I just received an email and it was like, come play.
I'm supposed to be working on video content for that for COG, so I got to jump into that soon. But I'm glad to hear that you're into it, because I've definitely had an interest since E3 or seeing it E3. And I'd like to really get into Division 2, because I didn't give Division 1 much of a chance. I think, like I said, I made it like level 9 or 10 and gave up on it. But I'd like to try this one out.
Yeah, we should. Do you have to do content for the VIP beta?
I do. So.
Okay. Well,
How much longer does that last? Do you know? I hope I didn't miss my window.
I know it's still on this weekend.
Okay. Maybe I'll jump in tonight for a little bit.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
I should be able to, if you want a partner to go through with.
I would love that.
That'd be great.
I'd like to trade some beanies. Can you trade in that game? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay. That'd be great, though. Like, I'll trade you my red beanie for your checkered patterned one.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
I haven't seen any beanies. It's not cold.
Yeah, because when you know... when you're in the heat of combat, the primary goal should be to show off your style.
I agree. That's something I hope they address in this game. I felt like in the first Division, there wasn't... Unless it was stuff you actually bought with real money, like microtransaction cosmetics, nothing really looked super interesting or cool, at least in the base game. I didn't play any of the expansions, so hopefully the really like elite gear looks super awesome, looks, you know, different than just the run of the
if it has gear. A flare of orange in it, you know it's elite gear. Okay. At least that's from what I remember from Division 1. If you have like an orange stripe on your jacket, you're elite.
I don't think I remember that.
Okay,
that's cool. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Then I played Devil May Cry 5, which you played merely minutes before we started this podcast.
Correct.
And I'm really digging it. The only history I have with Devil May Cry is I played almost all the way through 4. I got to halfway through 4 where you actually play as Dante and you kind of backtrack through everything you did as Nero, which is fun. I kind of just fell off of it because it seemed a little samey. And apparently that is one of the biggest complaints with Devil May Cry 4 is there is a lot of backtracking as different players or as you playing as a different character.
Yeah.
So I think I got my fill of Devil May Cry 4 and I had a lot of fun from what I played with it, but I'm fully set on 5 now. So I'm probably not going to finish 4, but yeah, the demo is great. I love the soundtrack. I love just the quirkiness of the writing in terms of just Nero. He's so cool.
Yeah.
That scene from the demo where the ambulance just goes right through him and it rolls and he just walks out. Yeah. Just stuff like that.
That's
is
great.
Just so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much all I have
running
to say.
On the RE engine you informed me of too.
Yeah. That was a surprise. I did not know that until I started the demo, and I can tell, man, I know we've only seen Resident Evil in this game in the RE engine, but, everything's looked really great so far in that engine. Just the faces.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
The faces just look fantastic. So
yeah, I'm excited to get into that. I also like the demo a lot. I pretty much echo everything you said. Of course, those animations are beautiful and soundtrack's awesome. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the quirkiness too. I think that's one of the major things that's drawing me to it. And I think it'll just be a really fun action game to play. And is that out this month too? Or is it March?
I'm not sure.
Something tells me it's March.
Probably.
But yeah, it was awesome. I had my ass kicked in the boss fight because I was a little distracted at the time, but I can tell I'm going to love that so much. And I love how you mentioned too, it kind of feels like a callback to games where you could get hung up on a boss and ask your friends like, oh dude, how'd you beat this guy?
Or March 8th.
Okay. Yeah. And you feel pretty accomplished upon beating him. So
yeah,
I think it's gonna be a ton of fun. I'm excited. Great demo too. You should definitely play it. It's free for now.
It is. You know what else is free?
What's that?
Apex Legends.
Yes, it is.
So we played quite a bit of that.
Before we talk about it.
Let
me read
questions.
Nolan's question. Yeah. Nolan says, top of the morning, gents. So Respawn dropped Apex Legends and hit 10 million players within 48 hours. Did you guys play it? And what are your thoughts? We have indeed played it. I want to hear from you first, Preston.
We played it and I like it.
It's really I like it a lot.
I can already say from now, it's my favorite Battle Royale game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the things that it's done differently, primarily, like, I love the ping system. I think that is absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It has to be in every game from now on.
Yep.
I love that you're able to communicate and it's so easy to do it with other people if you're playing with a random squad without having to put
your mic
headset on.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Of course it runs insanely well.
It does. It
runs so good. It feels great.
Yeah. Mechanically, I mean, like we've said this 1,000 times, Respawn has nailed first person mechanics. I mean, they feel it's like the most buttery smooth shooter I've ever played.
These are the people that made, you know, the Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Titanfall 1, 2. I mean, their lineage is just incredible FPSs.
And that was one of the best parts about it, just the sliding too, how good the sliding feels.
Sliding down a hill is freaking awesome.
Man, I don't even need the wall running after getting used to the sliding and running around. It just feels great.
It's so fast. Just especially once you holster your weapon, you're just hauling butt. It's
having
it's
a so buzz, man, on keyboard and mouse, especially. Mm-hmm. My goodness, it feels amazing.
Yeah. I love my main hiccup kind of with other BR games is how long it takes to understand everything, like what ammo and it is prime, like the looting section of these games is figuring out what ammo you need, doing that quickly, and this game makes it so easy. Everything, like heavy ammo's green, light ammo's the light orange, shotgun ammo's red, energy ammo's green. Like I know it already in the relatively short time that I've played the game, and just the color coding of the different armor pieces.
Sometimes kindergarten level labeling helps
so
and it's effective.
Easy. It's just within my second or third match, I was able to loot players' dead boxes and completely understand what I'm doing, what's what. And speaking of the death boxes, having them
glow a certain way.
Yeah. If
it's even worth looking at.
Exactly. If a ring's closing or something, you know, you got to get the either yellow or purple one before you head out.
Yeah.
So
now part of me likes the risk reward in certain battle royales where they drop boxes. You don't know what's in it. It's sort of like a surprise loot box. Maybe there is something good in there. I like the risk reward feeling of that, but I think it really works for Apex having the color coordination and knowing. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're basically a super soldier anyway. So
we haven't even talked about just the different characters in terms of the different gameplay styles that they bring. Having a healer in a battle royale game is awesome.
It is.
Not having to.
I like structuring your squad too, based around different roles.
You need a healer. Yeah. You always need a healer. That's very important. I also saw, I was watching Shroud play, which that dude is just, everybody knows he's absolutely unreal.
He's an inspiration to us all.
Yeah. But, he had a tip to, there are these ultimate boosters that you can, consumables that fill your ultimate up. And they had a thing where they were feeding it to Lifeline because her ultimate is dropping a pod of goodies.
Yeah.
So they were just feeding them to her. So they were constantly getting good gear drops. Just how you can plan around stuff like that just makes it completely unique from
it's more than just outrunning the circle and killing people. It's very much about strategizing how you can utilize the best of your abilities among your squad and then tackling.
And I love that
you
can use these abilities a lot, like Bangalier, I believe is her name. She's awesome. She can shoot out this smoke grenade and it refills super quick, so it's not like a you have to wait to use this or save it for the end of the match. Like use this thing.
It makes each moment-to-moment encounter more fun, too, because each one can be that bombastic and exciting versus, like you said, save it for the final fight. Man.
Yeah. Same thing with the big dude with the shield. Mm-hmm. I forget his name, but him throwing down that shield, dude, that helps so much when either you're reviving or you need some breathing room or you're being overwhelmed a little bit. At pretty much every character is completely viable. Bloodhound is freaking awesome. He can tell when somebody last opened a door, when somebody was here. And that's so helpful to have on your team to know, hey guys, like be aware somebody was here 20 seconds ago. They could still be around here. Hey, this door was opened up 20 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. That just is so cool to have in one of these games.
Hands, man.
Oh yeah.
Ask me how.
That's one of the big,
What?
Well, we are going.
Oh, yeah, we're
going
to go get pizza after
we're
this.
We're going to go get pizza.
Sorry.
That's one of the biggest things with Battle Royale or some games in general is being ambushed. So if that's a big problem for you, pick Bloodhound and he can try and help mitigate
that. You mean Yoshimitsu.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Every character is viable. I have not played as the poison dude. Mm-hmm. I actually haven't seen anybody play as him yet. The only character that you have to unlock that I've seen people play as is the, I'm forgetting his name, the guy that can throw the decoys out. Mm-hmm. And dude, that is super helpful.
It is.
Just to know that if there's people around a rock or something, just send it out and you can flank them, you know, just like in any other game. But being in a battle royale game, that is just so cool and handy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every character is fun to play.
How do you feel about the robot? I love playing as the robot because of his personality, and I like the verticality you get with his grapple hook. But how effective do you think he is on a team? Because I know his grapple hook, like, oh, my ultimate is I can shoot a line anywhere and the whole team can use it. I remember
getting the entire team up to a
like
high point.
Yeah,
or,
it can be helpful.
Because that is very handy in all games. But I mean, we have yet to win a match, which is very frustrating seeing all these
we've
other
come
people
close,
win a
though.
Match. I know we've come close several times. Mm-hmm. We always get in the top three or whatever, but we kind of get screwed every time. Like the last match we played, we were just in a hole and the entire other squad had the high ground and we really couldn't do anything. So having, Pathfinder, I believe that's
just kind of zip you out of there
up to
it is cool though. A couple times we used it even not to escape, but just to get from like across a cavern or something, just see your whole team hop on the line and then fly across. And even the little subtlety of having the option to like tap H to thank your teammate for dropping ammo for you or something.
Pathfinder can use those satellite things to know where the next
next ring is going to be.
Really handy.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
man. It was a little detail too. We were talking about the ammo. I love how, let's say you pick up ammo you don't actually need. I mean, once you know which gun's which and which ammo's which, you don't really need this feature, but I can appreciate the fact that in your backpack, it'll be crossed out if you don't even have a weapon that'll use it.
So if your backpack's full, just open it up. Every cross you see, just right-click it, right-click it. And it's so cool to just the ease of life things, or I'm not sure that's the correct term. But if you want to switch guns, when you pick it up, it just transfers all your attachments to
that next gun.
And then if you look at an attachment, it will tell you if the gun you have, if it'll work on it or not. Why haven't other games done this?
And I'm not surprised too, it coming from Respawn, because I still think they are incredibly underrated completely. I mean, a lot of people do know how excellent they are, but I mean, Titanfall's sales numbers would not suggest that, of course, but mechanically and even their ideas with gameplay have just always been phenomenal. And you can see that they've learned from all the battle royales that existed. And have they mentioned exactly how long they were working on this?
I heard something say 2 years.
Okay. Because I think they're hitting at the right time. Now, of course, they're, you know, we have Blackout, we have Fortnite, we have PUBG, Paladins, whatever, there's other couple of battle royales that exist. I think this, although yes, it is a shooter and it's sort of a mix of Overwatch, I think it is like striking the perfect storm right now in the midst of battle royale, whereas Blackout is as great as Blackout is, I think this completely trumps Blackout.
This is
as
polished as Blackout,
but far more dynamic,
arguably. Has just all these different characters that do things. Mm-hmm. Not to say Blackout's not fun, but this has just as much stuff as Blackout, but it's free.
This
is one of the most this and like Warframe and Fortnite too. These are the upper echelon free to play games that they look beautiful. Mm-hmm. They control them. They don't feel free to play at all. If you would have told me pay $30 for this game, I would have been okay.
Fine. Oh, totally.
I would have bought that.
And I'm even inspired. I don't know what I'm gonna do it to actually invest in some of the microtransactions, because some of the skins for these weapons are so awesome.
Oh, I'm doing once they come out with the battle pass thing. Mm-hmm. I'm totally buying that.
Oh, 100%. Because I am blown away at just the design of some, even the weapon skins alone, how cool they are. Mm-hmm. And just Respawn, man, I'm so happy for them that the game is already seeing a lot of success. I mean, I'm sure that 10 million player base is going to grow, and they've already hit a million concurrent. Mm-hmm. And I know Vince had a lot to say in this article I grabbed, but I won't read through it. But they're just excited. I'm happy for them. I'm sure EA is happy about the numbers too.
Yeah, it's cool. I know all the big streamers were partners of Apex when the game first came out, but even Ninja, I saw this on Twitter. The title of his last stream was, "This is not sponsored anymore. I'm just playing it because it's so much fun."
Right.
That was like the title. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see. And there is a little bit of, I have seen some people claiming, "Oh, y'all are just paid to say that." And I do see where they're, it is a little difficult where 1 week you're being paid to play this game and you're saying, this is freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
But you're still being paid to play it. Yeah. So there's this weird thing of like, no, it actually is cool. I swear I'm not being paid to say that.
Yeah, as a streamer, I bet it is a good feeling to not only get paid to say that, but actually get to mean it when you say it is cool. Yeah. So I mean, we can attest to that. I mean, it is a ton of fun.
Yeah, this is, yeah. I don't think this many people would play this game or down. I mean, people, I mean, Shrouder Ninja played Radical Heights when it came out. And like, I'm sure some people downloaded it after that, but it's clear as day to, if you tune into a stream to see this game, it looks awesome.
It does.
And just, it's free. Like, go play it.
On everything.
Yeah.
PC, Xbox.
And it runs, I looked at a Digital Foundry video for PS4 and Xbox. I didn't see the Xbox one, but on PS4 Pro and PS4, it runs at like 60 frames. Mm-hmm. It runs great.
It's incredible.
So,
and it has been confirmed that crossplay is coming.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Because I know Zach had asked me about it. Like, dude, we should totally play. And I didn't really want to download it on the footstool, of course. Yeah, hashtag not fanboys.
Who would?
But now the crossplay's coming. We will get to play together at some point. Also wanted to talk about how epic the intro of every match is. Just revealing your characters and then flying in together or choosing to branch off.
No, nobody talks about the music either.
Yeah, it's the music's awesome. So epic. That's what I was going to say. It's just each match when you enter the match just feels awesome. Mm-hmm. So I love just the adrenaline rush you get from that. And I also like how there's a jump master and your teammates, especially if you're not playing with your buddies, you can just kind of suggest where you should go and fly together or separate if you want. But I love that because it just makes getting from point A or from diving into wherever you're going just that much
and
simpler.
And I don't know if this is in Fortnite. Like, I do not play a lot of Battle Royales at all. This is the first one that I'm like really obsessed with. I mean, I played a lot of PUBG and I didn't play any Fortnite hardly, but I did play a decent amount of Blackout, but I think I've put more hours into this week than any other Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I'm like saying things that are already in other ones, but I love that when you enter a new area or right before you jump, you know, the areas that have good loot or when you enter a new area, it'll say at the top left corner, this is a mid tier loot location.
Yeah.
So you kind of know where you want to go to get the good stuff, because you need good stuff to win this.
Yeah.
Like you're absolutely probably not going to win with a level one armor set.
Yeah,
like you need that purple or gold armor to pull it off in the end. Like your whole team needs it.
Yeah, you need that heavy ammo too.
Yeah.
Deadly. What's some other details we haven't mentioned? Of course, the weapon designs, I mean, most of them are right out of Titanfall, but they look so cool and they feel amazing too. Just the feedback you get from all the weapons, especially the Wingman's one of my favorites. And I've always loved the Hemlock too, the burst rifle.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Peacemaker.
That's a good
Peacekeeper,
one.
Peacemaker.
Just that's a shotgun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a really cool skin for that. I got in the first loot box.
That's
with
cool.
Like lightning going up it. And I just think it's a really cool gun.
Yeah. Oh man, that game feels so good to play. I want to play it right now that we're talking about it. It's so good.
Listening to, I forgot what podcast it was on the way here, but just listening. It was like a Game Informer. They were just talking about it, and it really made me want to go turn around and go play it.
It's interesting how it's sort of like Titanfall evolved, and they have mentioned that they are currently not working on Titanfall 3. Maybe one day they will, but currently they're not. And it doesn't bother me because I think, like we said, hardly anyone played Titanfall 1 and 2, despite them being excellent games. I think this is perfect for Respawn, and I think it's probably exactly what EA wants too, because you know, Battle Royale, they previously did not have a Battle Royale. I still don't know if Battlefield's Battle Royale is coming, if they've canned it or if it's still coming, but I think it is perfect for Respawn going forward. I know they said they're going to iterate upon this going forward and they're going to support it for a long time coming.
I thought I read something about maybe putting more Titanfall things
into it. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I read that. I don't think I'm making that up, but if this game kind of follows the same path that Fortnite took with just adding new weapons, new heroes.
It helps too that the heroes are very distinct, not only in their ethnicity, but their looks and their personalities and the gear they use, because that's very cosplay.
Yeah.
Influenced.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people want to cosplay these characters, and that always helps even just getting the name of the game out there, even despite the fact that it's free and available everywhere. I think people are going to want to cosplay these characters. So,
because
you go to like PAX and E3 and people just decked out in Fortnite characters and stuff, or just the skins from the game. Mm-hmm. But a little more of a personal touch with these being unique characters. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm pumped for me. I can't wait to see how it evolves. And hopefully the player base grows. And I think it's fun to the point where people are going to keep playing it. Even if, let's say, this was it and they just updated skins from here on out, I still think it's solid enough for people to want to play it for a long time coming. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the map too? I love the layout. I love just like the verticality and just the jungle and the desert. And I just like, it just is a really cool layout. I think it looks awesome.
I think in this day and age with Fortnite and stuff, for this game to survive, it does need to keep adding things and evolve and stuff. Even as good as it is right now, it does. And they've made a plan for it. Mm-hmm. So
I also, I like the respawn aspect too. If your teammate dies, you can pick up their banner and take it to a respawn beacon or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool too. Just another thing that differentiates it from the others. And that's what I can say about Blackout is that I don't hold this against the game, but the map just never really intrigued me that much, despite the fact that it is like an amalgamation of previous Call of Duty maps combined. I think that idea is really cool. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, just taking a step back and looking at it as a whole, it still looks a lot like PUBG to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about Apex Legends map is that it feels very much like there's the Titanfall look of architecture with certain buildings and everything, but just the big mountains and the stuff you can slide down and the caverns and wide open spaces and like the jungle aspects and everything and like the swampy areas. It just looks really cool and unique in that sense. So that's why that's one of the main reasons I love the map too. But
yeah,
is there anything else we haven't talked about that is sticking out? Because there really is a lot to take in when you play it.
I think I've really said.
Okay, I think everything. I have too. We're loving it, man.
Yeah, it's
loving
really
it so
fun.
Much.
Really
yeah.
fun.
I know a lot of us are on different platforms, but of course, if you're on PC, I know Preston and I and Jacob especially will be playing it a lot probably this coming week. And,
are our Origin IDs in the description?
No, I will add those this week. If you're listening to the podcast, I'll post them on Discord in our announcements tab, and I will post them, I'll pin them in the comments of this YouTube video too. So if you're not out there on Discord or YouTube, now's a great time to do so. Just swing by the YouTube channel and check that out if you want. But I'll post our Origin stuff this week so you guys can have that and we can team up on PC. And regardless, I was going to say cross-platform is coming, or cross-play, so in the future we can all play together regardless, so it'll be cool.
For sure.
Yeah, man. Apex Legends, killing it.
Very cool.
So cool. I guess we can jump into the news now.
Yeah, man. This is the It's Obvious podcast, the show where my normally two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss.
Well, it is your two best friends.
It is,
me and Lamp.
Shades is here. Get together every week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. If YouTube isn't good for you or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on Spotify, Google Play, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for links to our social media pages, our Discord channel, PSN community, PSN names. Hopefully soon our Origin names, pretty much anything you would ever need to get in contact with us. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel down below and be sure to like and comment as well to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news?
Always love that dramatic pause. Activision Blizzard is reportedly announcing hundreds of layoffs on Tuesday. That is pretty
Apex Legends killed him, right?
Yeah. That's fine. I wanted to ask this before I move into the story. Pause for 1 second. How do you think Apex Legends is going to affect the sales of Anthem? Yeah, because I know obviously no one's buying Apex Legends, but think about how much people are enjoying it and people that, I mean, I know Anthem is obviously a very different game, but I almost feel like people are just going like, I'm having so much fun with Apex. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just hold off on Anthem for now and maybe I'll get to it later.
I'm holding off on Anthem just to kind of see how it is.
As am I.
Yeah. So even though, I mean, I had fun with the beta, I just kind of want to see how it rolls out and everything, but I don't know. I think they're completely, as you said, completely different games and different players are looking for different
experiences
with both games. So yeah. I wouldn't think it would affect it too much. I think if you know that you want Anthem and that's the type of game that you want, I wouldn't imagine Apex Legends keeping you from getting it.
Yeah. Now, from EA's perspective, I'm sure they really couldn't care less because at the end of the day, Apex is being very successful. I assume Anthem will be at the very least moderately successful. But from BioWare's standpoint, it would be just such a shame if Apex completely overshadowed the launch of Anthem. And they kind of like screwed them in that front because I'd hate for I don't know if BioWare will go under or not. Let's say worst case scenario, Anthem sells horribly and no one, it reviews poorly. nobody's happy with it. Mm-hmm. Would that be the end of BioWare, you think? Or do you think they'd, like, what, where would they go from there? I mean, what, could EA possibly dump another studio at this point?
I don't know.
Man, because I know they're already in pre-production for Dragon Age.
Yeah.
So maybe regardless of whether Anthem succeeds or not, Dragon Age could technically be their last hurrah.
Yeah. I know this has been said, but like, why aren't they doing another KOTOR? Like, that just doesn't make
any
sense.
I know, that is
doesn't make any
incredibly
sense.
Foolish to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let me read through this story first because it's the perfect subject. And this is regarding Star Wars and EA's deal with publishing games. Mm-hmm. So it says, and this comes from, before I forget, it's from Anthony Backus of COD Connected. It says, despite what it would seem to be a rocky business partnership with Electronic Arts, Disney has a, quote, good relationship with the publisher and will continue to license its brands to other video game developers. This is a quote as well. It says, we're good at making movies and television shows and theme parks and cruise ships and the like. We've just never managed to demonstrate much skill on the publishing side of games. That's from Bob Iger. And he says, replying to a question about whether the company has any desire to self-publish games. Anthony chimes back in and says, currently Disney has a deal with EA, who has the rights to make Star Wars games. The relationship appeared to be in hot water when Star Wars Battlefront 2 became the center of attention when it came to their microtransaction system. EA also canceled two other Star Wars games, one developed by EA Vancouver, another by Visceral Games. In their own earnings call, EA confirmed that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order would be out later this year. Iger didn't seem too fazed by EA drama when someone asked him about his thoughts on the video game business and how it will impact Disney going forward. And Bob says, we're obviously mindful of the size of that business. Over the years, as you know, we've tried our hand at self-publishing. We've bought companies, we've sold companies, we've bought developers, we've closed developers, and we've found over the years that we haven't been particularly good at self-publishing. But we've been great at the licensing side, which obviously doesn't require that much allocation of capital. Since we're allocating capital in other directions, we've just decided that the best place for us to be in that space is licensing and not publishing. We've had good relationships with some of those we're licensing to, notably EA and the relationship on Star Wars properties, and we're probably going to stay on that side of the business and put our capital elsewhere. So it's interesting that Disney just doesn't even seem concerned with the fact that EA is, in many ways, dropped the ball with the Star Wars property. Mm-hmm. Not only Battlefront 1 and 2, despite that they're graphically beautiful and mechanically sound, overall, they're just not that interesting. And like we just mentioned, that KOTOR needs to happen. A reboot of that, I think, is absolutely necessary. Now, I can see why, with the existence of Old Republic, why they wouldn't want to take that step. I know Old Republic's an MMO, mm-hmm. but in many ways, people could substitute a KOTOR for Old Republic if they really wanted to. I mean, I know I did that for a while with Zach when we played it, and I had a good time with it, but if only instead of working on the next Dragon Age, maybe do a KOTOR instead. I mean, why would you not capitalize off the fact that you have Star Wars in the palm of your hands?
Yeah.
But I know they're banking a lot on Jedi Fallen Order, and the fact that it is coming from Respawn, I have a lot of confidence in it, but I just found it so interesting that Iger just isn't that concerned about the gaming front. Mm-hmm. Knowing how savvy he is with movies and TV and, like you said, cruise ships and theme parks. I mean, he is Disney was already gargantuan, but he's turned them into like the company that basically runs the entire planet. Mm-hmm. And you'd think with that much power, the power of the sun and the palm of my hand, it's basically him. He's basically Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. He's basically Thanos. You'd think he'd need that final Infinity Stone, which is the gaming front, and just really nail it with mm-hmm. that. But we've always said on this podcast, and I'm sure a lot of people have as well, like maybe the answer is licensing their games to other publishers like Bethesda or who else have we juggled in the past? I don't know, WB or something. Literally anyone but EA at this point. I don't know. That's all I really have to say. I thought it was interesting to share that because Bob Iger just doesn't seem that concerned with the fact that everyone's pretty dissatisfied with EA.
I mean, if it financially suits them, then...
Yeah, I mean, oh well.
I don't care.
I mean, as a consumer, it kind of sucks because I'd like to see what other people could do with Star Wars, but I'm just, at this point, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Jedi Fallen Order is the Jedi game we've all been waiting for forever.
Yeah.
Has so much potential.
Yeah.
So, interesting tale, though.
It's interesting.
Back to Activision Blizzard. It says that they have, they're announcing hundreds of layoffs on Tuesday due to, quote, a part of restructuring aimed at centralizing functions and boosting profit. And overall, it's reportedly due to a rough 2019 so far, with declining numbers in Overwatch and Hearthstone, and their split with Bungie has not helped. Hmm. So, obviously, there's only so much we can say about layoffs in the games industry. I mean, it does not affect us whatsoever, but I know it's got to suck to work at a high caliber studio like Activision Blizzard and then have to lose your job over the sake of profits. And I mean, I get it. It's business. Like, you got to do what you got to do, but it just sucks a lot to have to hear about that kind of stuff repeatedly. And I know everyone's been questioning, you know, the integrity of Activision Blizzard for a while now and their creative process and what exactly are they doing with Diablo and all their other properties and how they're going to keep Overwatch afloat, or is it truly dead and gone at this point? And same with Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. I wish Jacob was here because I'd like to hear Jacob's perspective on all this, but it's just, I feel bad for him, and I'm interested to see how they progress from here.
Yeah.
Cause what do they have coming aside from
Sekiro?
Is that Activision Blizzard? Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They got Sekiro coming.
The next Call of Duty.
Next Call of Duty. I guess that's at the end of the day, if that's what's
Diablo
doing it for
them. Immortal.
Yeah. We're all waiting for that one. Do you have a phone, by the way?
I do.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because I do too. And I think I'm going to, that probably will be my game of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get my hopes up too high, but I'm banking that it's going to be my game of the year.
It'll be killer.
So that's a good point, though. When I say Activision Blizzard, my mind goes straight to the Blizzard side and not the Activision side, but I guess you're right. I mean, despite the fact that Overwatch and Hearthstone are declining, they want those monetization options. And I guess Call of Duty can be a substitute. Obviously, Sekiro is not going to have any microtransactions unless they're like, you want some skins for your prosthetic arm? You can buy these packs. Yeah. I doubt it. But yeah, it sucks, man. Of course, our hearts go out to those employees. I wonder if they know who they are, if they're being fired, if they've been notified, or if it's just like on Tuesday, like, surprise, you're gone.
Probably.
That'd be terrible, man. Yeah. It's got to be, especially if you don't know and you hear this reported in the media and you're like, holy shit, going into work on Tuesday. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
But sad times. And better news, former Telltale game developers have created a new studio called Ad Hoc, with the goal of creating more narrative-focused games. Although the studio hasn't revealed any information on their first project, the team is strongly hinting it will be an interactive live-action experience.
Wow.
It comes from Tyler McDonald of COD Connected. So basically Bandersnatch from former Telltale developers.
Hmm.
So let's say narrative-focused with a live-action spin. I could see as a game studio, that could be kind of cool, because I imagine Quantum Realm, like filming scenes for Quantum Realm, but you're choosing decisions. Imagine
Quantum Break,
yeah. Where am I getting that from?
I don't know.
Oh, Quantum Realm from Ant-Man.
Oh, okay.
Literally last night I watched a video on like theories about the Quantum Realm going into Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Quantum Break, I guess in a lot of ways it'd kind of be like Until Dawn, but instead of just performance capture to actual actors doing this. I guess it'd be kind of fun. It's different. Not many people are doing that consistently, so
besides Super Seducer.
I bet that was the main inspiration. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually the director of this new studio. In fact, if they want to succeed, I'd suggest hiring the guy to be the studio head. I totally forgot Jacob and I did a Let's Play for that, and I remember it being so funny. That's amazing.
The sequel's pretty hilarious, too.
I haven't seen any of the sequel yet.
He fully is into just the absolute craziness.
Okay. So I guess he realized, like, after all the jokes, like, I might as well be the Tommy Wiseau of this franchise. He very much is a Tommy Wiseau in a lot of ways. But cool, man. I'm glad that some former Telltale game devs have kind of joined forces to kind of tackle these new projects. Hopefully it pays off for them. We talked about Star Wars. What else are we on? Mortal Kombat. Okay. Earlier this week on the Combat Cast, NetherRealm community manager Tyler Lansdowne struck down the possibility that the much-requested Scooby-Doo character, Immortal God Shaggy, would not appear in the game.
It's a shame.
It's a bummer, because you and I actually talked about that earlier this week about, dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, who owns Scooby-Doo? Is it WB?
WB.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would make sense, because... And no wonder people are requesting it, because NetherRealm is WB as well, so are published by WB, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So I think
even if that wasn't the case, people would still be asking for this.
Oh, of course.
The meme.
I can see why it seemed somewhat realistic because of that, but I can see why WB is like, we can't have this classic character being split in half and his spine ripped out. You know, we're making jokes like, what if he had Scooby snacks for his fatality and like threw a Scooby snack on Scorpion and Scooby comes in and like bites Scorpion's head off or something. It'd be amazing. But I think it's so funny how these memes of Shaggy have popped up. I think due in part to the fact that the Scooby-Doo movies had been added to Netflix not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched them not too long ago. And of course, they're terrible, but at the same time, I love them so much for how bad they are. Mm-hmm. And Shaggy in particular is one of the best parts of those movies. Just to see these memes that have been popping up about Shaggy have been some of the funniest things I've seen the past couple of weeks.
But yeah.
I'm sure that meme's very quickly dying, but I just thought it was a funny story. But
it is funny.
Unfortunately, he will not be in
tons
the game.
Of signatures. I think it had 500,000 signatures.
That is impressive. Yeah. Yeah, the internet is a horrible but fascinating place.
It's a great place.
It is. Yeah, I've seen a lot more good. I mean, I've been off social media, but some of the stuff you've sent me has been great this week. So, anyway, Days Gone's combat trailer came out.
Oh,
did you check it out?
I didn't even know.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it wasn't promoted heavily, but it was similar to the one that was before it was, which was the motorcycle trailer. It was the combat trailer.
You watched this one?
I did.
How's it shaping up for you?
I think it looks pretty cool. Just like I talked about with the previous trailer, I think we'd even talked about it last week. I think the game is looking very cool. It sounds cool. There's yet to be anything that really, really blows my mind about it, but I think at the end of the day, it's just going to be a really cool open world survival action game. And they talk about the freakers and the different types of freakers you'll encounter and how you can combat them differently and how they'll attack you differently. Mm-hmm. They talked about stealth, which is no surprise there. They talked about different weapons, and I think you can buy and repair gear and go to vendors and upgrade your weapons and stuff. Talked about the wild too, like wolves and like these mutated bears will chase after you and attack you too.
That's scary.
Yeah. So it's awesome. I think it looks really cool. And I hope that Sony Bend Studio nails it with this game. Because I am, of course, not a fanboy, but I'm definitely playing this. So
yeah,
looks freaking cool, man. I keep forgetting I have this Band-Aid on my back. I had two moles cut off yesterday.
Oh God.
Yep. Went for my annual mole checkup because I got a lot of them. Could probably set a record for the amount of moles I have.
Okay.
And cut off two of them.
Wow. Like cut?
Yeah. They numb you with a little needle and then they slice them off.
Wow. I don't think I've ever had a mole.
Yeah. So they send them off for a biopsy and they get back the results. And the previous one I had cut off wasn't cancerous, but it, something was up with it, and I had to go back, and they have to literally dig out like several layers of your skin to make sure the mole's completely gone. It didn't. They numbed me, but it was a gnarly. I think I still have the scar. It was a gnarly scar for a long time. But yeah, I had two removed. We'll see if these ones are okay.
Wow.
So I'm gonna look like Swiss cheese at the end of my life. I've got all these moles dug out of me.
Now, before we get to the community questions, yeah. There was some Game Informer coverage of the
Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of that?
I haven't seen the rapid fire questions yet.
Okay, I have not seen that one yet either. I just did read a story about people's. I think we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, but just people's perception of what this game is going to be. People hyping it up in their head. And I think it's really cool that they're coming out as soon as possible, putting a lot of these crazy things or these crazy aspirations that people think this game has to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people thinking this is a massive open world game with different star systems to go to,
right,
or how it's just a not really an open world game, and how it's probably more of a 20 to 40 hour experience that's meant to be replayed, taking different options, different styles of play, either using dialogue to get past things or combat or stealth. It can vary. I believe in one of the interviews I saw, he said the first area they've had play testers beat it in 45 minutes, and some play testers take up to 3 to 4 hours to get past that area. So, but it's very much a Obsidian game, which obviously I'm very excited about. But I thought everything I've read so far is got me extremely hyped, and I'm completely fine. I would much rather have a 40 hour RPG that has all the systems it has in it completely fleshed out, has different ways to replay, than just a 100 hour RPG with a ton of fluff and it doesn't really focus on one particular thing and makes it, you know, really great. So I'm very excited to play this game.
You have me excited. I think everything you just told me sounds great. I'm going to watch those rapid questions though, because I think Game Informer does those the best.
Yeah, those are really cool.
And those are always really informative and entertaining. So I'm going to check that out. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, man, no problem.
But that does indeed bring us to community questions. As you've heard us say a million times, our favorite segment of the podcast, because we can connect with you directly, and your continued support of this podcast by submitting questions week in and week out, it's just been so humbling and so wonderful. We love hearing from you guys, and please keep them coming. Again, I'm not going to promise Ask IOG unless I can deliver on it from here on out. So that being said, if you guys want your questions read on this show, you can email us in one of three places. Not email us. You can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. Now, all that information to access us in all of those places are found in the description of every single YouTube video, on our YouTube channel, of course, and on all the podcasting services. You can find that information in the info tabs. So we encourage you to reach out like Fireseed did. He writes in and says, "Hello, you three handsome gentlemen. Big fan all the way from the UK, so here goes my question. Gaming for me over the last year has become more than just a hobby. I have suffered with crippling anxiety after my mother died last year. Slowly but surely, I am feeling more like my old self again, and when I look back, gaming was a huge comfort for me in the form of escapism and a constant for a while when struggling with my worst moments. Can any of you relate to this when gaming is more than just something to do? Peace and love to you all. P.S. Hands down, the best gaming podcast on any platform. It has been a pleasure getting to know you all from afar." Well, Fireseed, first and foremost, I know there are several UK listeners out there. I just think every time I think about there's people from foreign countries listening to the podcast, it's like the coolest thing in the world to me. And there are many foreign countries I've yet to visit, notably most of the UK. I haven't visited anywhere in the UK, so I'd love to pay a visit at some point. But one, thank you for tuning in. And again, I wanted to thank you personally for reaching out to me this week to provide me with some encouragement when I was feeling down in the dumps, man. So, yeah, Percy, I know you're feeling bad, or you were suffering from anxiety due to the loss of your mother, man. And I can't imagine what that's like, but I'm glad that you're bouncing back and that games are sort of an escape for you. I'll start by saying, I think I even said this recently. I lean more towards the way you feel now. I didn't realize until I started going through some hard times that I also cannot play games when I'm feeling down in the dumps. I used to think I could, but I didn't know true pain until pretty recently. And then I realized, like, actually I cannot play games when I'm upset. Mm-hmm. And they have been an escape in times when I have a lot of work to do or a lot of schoolwork. While I, yes, should be working on my schoolwork or other projects, I will take a break to play games and kind of just get my mind off things. But mm-hmm. when I'm going through any sort of emotional turmoil, I can't play games. And I've experienced that this past week. It was hard for me just to play Apex Legends as much as I loved it. Mm-hmm. My mind was just all over the place while we were playing. And
that's why we lost.
Exactly. Mm. So, but yeah, I was severely distracted the entire time. So I can't necessarily escape in all scenarios through games, but mm-hmm. Sometimes I can, but most of the time I've realized that I can't.
Yeah.
So how do you feel? Are you still the same?
Yeah, that's how I feel. It just depends on the severity of how I feel or different situations. I primarily, if I want to escape with video games, it's due to more maybe stress related things or to mm-hmm. kind of cool down, chill out.
Same.
But yeah, I don't really want to play, especially a narrative based game or anything like that. If I have other stuff on my mind, I don't want to waste that time playing a game. Like if I'm playing something like that, I want to fully be into it, understand what's going on, mm-hmm. Etc. So
likewise.
So yeah,
that's great. Fireseed, again, thank you so much, man, for tuning in all the way from the UK and sharing that part of your life with us. And the question, we appreciate all of it. So yeah, that's how we feel. Abyssal Prox writes in and says, "Keeping it real simple this week, boss. We heard last week how the It's Obvious Gaming name came about, and I have heard on multiple occasions the creative processes that spawned the name we now know as Al Capone, which I still think on Jacob's part is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. My question is this: how were Pooh Bah and the Shaft born? This question is sponsored by How It's Made." Mm. It's good to have a sponsor for once.
Pooh Bah was the name that was given to
the skeleton
in our old apartment.
Yeah.
And when PS4 was coming out and we were hopping into it, I wanted to completely start over from the PSN account that I had on PS3, which if somebody gave me $1 million, I could not tell you my PSN name from PS3. Completely have no clue what it is. So yeah, we just wanted to start over and we're just thinking of weird names. And mm-hmm. I think both our names have underscores. So I just did John Pooba for the skeleton and we just,
also known as Pooba Jones.
Yeah.
We'll explain that in a minute if you haven't heard the story.
And I don't even remember how that came up.
Me either.
But Alistair Shaft, I think, was just something.
Yeah.
We were just trying to think of the stupidest name of all time, I think.
We got in this hook, or not this hook, we were sort of inspired by our buddy Zach Bynum, who's been on the podcast several times in the past. His name on everything is Ricky Pringus. Mm-hmm. And his funny name inspired us to all have funny names of our own. And for a while, Jacob on Xbox was called Richard Dringle. And I wish he'd kept that because I thought it was so funny. And forever we tried to talk him into being Jacob Angus, Stanky Ringus, but he just refused. I still encourage him to do that, but he just won't do it. But I bounced around a few ideas going into PS4 because I also wanted to start a new account. So I think my top three were Harold Bucksworth, Donald Doohickey, which I kind of wish I'd gone with that one, mm-hmm. and Alistair Shaft. And I thought Alistair Shaft was a cross between sounding cool but also ridiculous. It almost sounds like a B-level or like parody of a secret agent in a movie. Mm-hmm. So I went with Alistair Shaft. It's fine. I sometimes forget I'm called Alistair Shaft on a lot of things, but I've kind of stuck with it because since we started the podcast, it's been my name on everything. So I mm-hmm. guess I'm kind of stuck with it. But yeah, those are the three names I bounced around. But I think John Poobah is probably my favorite. And, I'll never forget when PS4 first launched and this girl was streaming on Ustream. We tuned in just because we were bored. Like me, Preston, Jacob at our old apartment. And we were like, Preston, just tell her your name's John Poobah. You're like, hey, my name's John Poobah. My name's John Poobah, also known as Poobah Jones. Like, John Poobah, Poobah Jones, just over and over and over again until she'd acknowledge our presence. And finally, she's like, Poobah? Who's Poobah? And that's been like the funniest joke to call back on for years whenever we hear John Poobah. Just that instantly comes to mind of her just in that British accent demanding to know who Poobah was. So yeah, that's how those names came about. And Jacob's just Jaka 27, I now guess. Mm-hmm. I guess. What's he on PS4? Is he Richard Dringle on PS4 still?
No, he's
Lost in the Echo.
Yeah, Lost in
the Echo. Really dropped the ball on that one, Jacob. Yeah. Should have been Richard Dringle.
Stupid Linkin Park. Yeah.
But yeah. Jacob Angus, Stanky Rangus, we need to start a poll that the entire community needs to sign.
I'm for that.
Him change it. I bet if that was his name on Facebook Gaming, he'd be way bigger by now.
I agree.
It stands out more than Jaka27. I know that's sort of his ID now, but if it's Jacob Angus, Stanky Rangus, I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but yeah, I need to know.
Got to click on that.
So we'll start a petition, I think.
Okay.
I'll put it in the announcements tab and just have people vote with emojis and see if we can get him to change it. But Abyssal, thanks for the question, man. Bongeles, bongeles, Mr. Kyle. Again, thank you, my friend, for reaching out this week. It was amazing. I appreciate it. He writes in and says, boys, fellas, gods among men, testosterone-filled sex appeal maniacs. Mm. Your intros always get me riled up, Kyle. I appreciate it. He says, I have a question for you guys. Square themselves have approached you on their top secret new Kingdom Hearts game that is slated to launch in the not-so-distant 2033. They would like to know exactly what worlds would draw people in for yet another fantastic sequel. What worlds would you go crazy or would you guys like to see, and how would you play out? They don't have to be Disney related, so go crazy. Also, if your gummy ship isn't designed to look like a big, girthy, honking dick, then you might not be qualified to answer. Love everything y'all do and never forget to always go beyond plus ultra. Also watching Rising of the Shield Hero, you cucks. Also watch Rising of the Shield Hero, you cucks. Yeah. I guess we're cucks until we watch that.
I've never
go to the cuck world, man. Okay, any world, so it doesn't have to be Disney related.
All right, we already should get out of the way. We're probably already going to say something Marvel related or Star Wars related, so those are boring.
Okay, let's get those out of here. They are out of sight, out of mind, everything else.
Yeah. If nothing's off the table, let's do a Dragon Ball Z world.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Have this.
Sora can go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be one of his forms from the Dragon Ball Z Keyblade.
And his weapon would be inspired by Trunks' sword.
Okay.
It'd be like the hilt of his sword, but as a Keyblade.
Okay.
It'd be kind of cool.
And like the little shaft or little break off part at the top. It's mm-hmm. got to be a Dragon Ball.
Oh, absolutely.
With like Shenron coming off of it.
Oh, he's so gnarly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or the hilt where the keychain obviously would have to be a Dragon
and
Ball.
And Sora something. Would wear, you know, Donald would wear armor like Vegeta's, like his original armor, because it's his colors.
Well, no, Donald is more of a mage. So I could kind of see him in a Namekin purple gear, and with Donald or with Goofy being the knight, I could see him in
like Vegeta's gear,
in Vegeta's armor or the Saiyan armor. Yeah.
And then
the classic Saiyan armor with like the underwear.
Mm-hmm. And now what would Sora rock?
Sora has to rock the
I'm
the
thinking
orange
like a Krillin suit or something.
Well, yeah, just the
like Goku's clothes.
Goku's clothes, yeah. It's got to rock that.
Oh man, that'd be so cool. It'd
be super cool.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it actually sounds awesome. So yeah, that'd be a world for sure.
Dude, it makes perfect sense. The first form could be Super Saiyan with the Keyblade doing something, and then the second form could be like Super Saiyan 3.
Totally.
And then the finisher, which
I want to see.
Have you played it yet?
Not yet.
So when you finish a form, you do like an ultimate attack.
And like
of course
a spirit
it would
bomb?
Be like a spirit bomb, yeah. Or something. Yeah, it makes too much sense. To yeah,
can you just imagine Donald trying to go Super Saiyan? The noises he would make? Yeah. That's what I need to see. That or just Goofy like, Gorsh!
Gorsh!
Yeah, going Super Saiyan Goofy's ear standing straight up.
Has anybody ever said that on Earth?
Super Saiyan Goofy?
Super Saiyan Goofy.
That should be the name of this episode. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z would be cool.
Dude, so many cool, like, Frieza Heartless or whatever. Yeah, it writes itself.
It does. That's brilliant. What about, like, a Batman world?
That'd be cool.
How could that be interesting? Because Batman's just, like, a detective, and his world's very grounded, so maybe that wouldn't work. Because I just imagine it being not totally dissimilar to Halloween Town as far as aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So we'll skip that one.
Okay.
Dragon Ball Z is huge, though. That's really big. Mm-hmm.
Look at the wall.
I know. Look at the walls. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, dude. Be like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a Zelda Kingdom Hearts crossover.
That is brilliant. You're killing it. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Master Sword Keyblade.
Naturally.
It's got to be, you know,
Goofy would be dressed up like Zelda, of course.
Okay.
Donald would be... Epona, essentially.
Okay.
He'd have a big horse head with a beak.
That would be the mechanic, is you have a horse.
And you ride Donald.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there'd be like an archery thing going on while you're on the horse. Big set piece moments.
Of course.
Out in
Sora would be dressed a lot like Link, naturally.
Yeah.
Now, would this be Breath of the Wild Link, or would it be Classic Link from, like, say, Ocarina of Time?
It seems like they're probably going more in the art direction, more Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Is what I would guess.
So hints of blue then for Sora.
Okay.
With his warrior's gown or whatever it's called.
Champion's gown,
yeah.
Yeah.
You'd ride the Master Cycle Zero for a set piece.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Tons of boss opportunities.
It's so cool, but so ridiculous. This is reserved for only the finest warriors. Now a dirt bike.
The finale is Sora going to Harry Potter world and having...
Oh my gosh. You know, dude, you are a machine today.
You can imagine the keyblades that you could do with
run around Hogwarts fighting Heartless.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That'd be so amazing.
Yeah. You're welcome, Square, for that idea.
2033, you've heard it here first. We got Dragon Ball Z, Harry Potter, and what would we just say?
Zelda.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if that was actually in the game?
That would
I don't think the world could take it.
No, it would explode.
We're tampering with things beyond
that
our
would be
right
the
now.
Apocalypse.
Yeah, we're messing things too far beyond what we can control.
As Theo Vaughn would say, we're playing with the dark arts right now. So that's incredibly tempting, and it could end the planet as we know it.
And
so
then we finish it with a Breaking Bad Kingdom Hearts world.
Yeah, of course.
Giant,
I'm glad we have that giant poster of Heisenberg
giant
there.
Giant blue meth keyblade.
It's completely crystallized in meth.
Yeah, the ultimate
Donald
form
and Goofy are just completely
Sora
methed
just
out.
In a green polo and underwear is how he ends it.
Yeah. Dude, we have nailed it. Everyone, try to take a step back, take a deep breath, and don't run off the side of the road with these ideas
from
we've been throwing out.
All that hype we just put inside of you.
Let's all take a breather here. We'll move on slowly. Kyle, that was a great question, man. We appreciate it. And Preston, you nailed it. That was all you.
Thank you. The
credit goes to you. You should be directing the next Kingdom Hearts. Jedi Slayer 93 writes in and says, "Hey guys, love the podcast. I just discovered you last week and I've been listening when I can. My question is this. Let's say you were warped onto a desert island and you get to take 5 video games with you. What would those games be?" Okay, we've answered
That's
this.
A lot of games.
Yeah, we've answered this differently a few times in the past. I'm not even going to think too hard about it. I'm going to say the first 5 games come to mind.
Okay.
Currently, Apex Legends.
Wow.
Because it's fun.
Okay.
Assuming I have an internet connection there, I would take Witcher 3.
And knowing that it's probably going to update.
Yep, I'll take Witcher 3.
Okay.
I would take Spider-Man PS4.
Okay.
I would take Halo 3, fifth one, Batman Arkham City.
Okay. I would take Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Just having
that big world to run around. Yep.
I'd take Skyrim. I would take an MMO. I'd take Final Fantasy 14.
Good call.
Just because then I would have to force myself to actually play it.
Yeah.
So I really need to play that again. Mm-hmm. I'd probably do, we're on the Apex train. I'll do that for my shoot 'em up game. I'll have that there.
Full steam ahead on that one.
Got to have Ocarina of Time because I have to play that at least a couple of times a year. And then my final one, I will pick, man, it seems like I have one of every genre that I'm into. I'll just do The Last of Us because I like to play that game every now and then. That's a good emotional journey for me. Yeah. So,
have you seen reviews for Resident Evil 2 yet?
Yes.
So funny.
Yeah. The Kingdom Hearts one they just put out was really funny. If y'all haven't seen Girlfriend Reviews, check it out. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Just incredible writing and editing, too. Yeah. It's brilliant. I could literally name five other games. Those are off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So, Jedi Slayer, man, I hope you join us on that island and bring some excellent games yourself.
Again, if we're all on this island, then.
No, we can all trade games.
Yeah.
Unless we were like the original state of Xbox One where we had to like use codes or whatever.
I mean, we could just get up and walk to the other person's.
That's a good point. Yeah. We'll have a big
Nobody
circle.
Cares about progression and stuff when you're stuck on a desert island. You have totally. More things to worry about.
Yeah, that's a good call. Remember, guys, these questions are not just for us. They're for you as well. That's why we call them community questions. If you guys have five games of your own on a desert island, please share them down below. Big finale, Little Sean writes in and says, hey, guys, I've been listening to the podcast for multiple years now and love your dedication to keep making the show. So thank you for that. My question would you ever do an IOG meetup? I would love to meet other members of the community, hang out, talk video games, and eat lunch or something. Also, Garrett, I hope the best for you, brother. Stay strong. Love you all. Well, Lil Sean, thank you so much for the support, man. Not only for this podcast, but for me personally, I appreciate it so much. IOG meetups. We almost met with a community member once before at Taco Bell, but it didn't work out because our schedule and just the distance was too tough. But yeah, I don't know where the best place would be for that. I don't know how many of you intend on going to E3 this year. Because I'm fairly certain I'll be attending this year. May or may not do PAX later this year in Seattle. But at events like that is probably the easiest. I know the three of us obviously aren't together, but I've always thought an IOG meetup would be awesome if we could make it happen. I mean, Atlanta's a big city. There's a lot of places that are good for meetups. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to be like, hey, everyone travel to Atlanta on this date 6 months from now. And we'll all do a meetup. I would plan that if the community wanted to try it. I think it'd be really cool. We could like rent a place out for a night and just hang out and play games and just meet each other. I think it'd be cool. But yeah, we're totally open to that. I don't know. I mean, logistically speaking, it's kind of hard to actually make that a reality. And a lot of people have to be on board for it. But yeah, I've met a couple guys. I met one gentleman at Smith's and then another guy in Seattle that one time. It was so cool meeting you guys. And please, please, please forgive me for not remembering your names. But it was great meeting you guys. And I'd love for the community as a whole to meet up sometime. It'd be sweet.
Probably for that to be like an actual thing, probably need to grow a little bit
more. We're at, and it is so beautiful despite the fact that we're a pretty small podcast. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, our community is amazing and we're here for each other. I think it's great, and we get to just share our love for video games and everything else we talk about. So
sounds good, man.
But that was it for community questions. You guys are so awesome. Thank you so much for your continued support. We have plenty more to get to next week. And of course, Ask IOG whenever we can do it. I promise it's coming at some point. But yeah.
It's just the joke now. Kind of like Jablinski Games.
Exactly.
Do you watch that?
No.
You don't?
No.
I've been watching it.
Does he post regularly?
Yeah, every Friday.
Okay.
It's just like the joke is that he calls the Elgato the Delgato.
Yeah.
And he keeps losing it or hasn't got here. In the last episode, Ninja stole it from him, which is afraid of what they can do. So they just do other things, but it's just like the recurring joke that they'll eventually get to playing.
That's amazing.
Games. It's kind of like we'll eventually do an Ask IOG.
Eventually,
at some point.
When the time is right. When the stars align.
Yeah, but
literally.
Anyway, that was the It's Obvious podcast. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Please subscribe to us at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming and also on the Apple Podcasting app. Leave us a review there as well. We greatly appreciate it. And check us out on Discord. Just check the description. Follow us on all our social media pages. And that's pretty much it. We really appreciate it, you guys. And I think that'll do it for this episode.
It's such an honor and pleasure.
It was. Again, for the third time, we really appreciate you guys, and we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir. See ya.
Bye-bye.